All my sin of burdens come to him, all choir, you did great today. If you're visiting with us this morning here at Rock Haven Baptist Church, we're so thankful that you are here this morning. We're glad to see you here in the house of God worshiping with us. It is drawing near to the end of summer. School will be back in session in probably less than a month, and people can quit traveling, going on vacations, but there's still some out this week. There's still some yet to go next week and the week after. So be in prayer for all those that are traveling and on their way, visiting family, relaxing, enjoying their time off during the summer. Don't forget the upcoming Vacation Bible School. There's flyers over here. Now, last Thursday, when the men were supposed to go out, God saw fit for it to rain, so we missed that opportunity. But this Saturday, we had a pretty good turnout to go out and to get the information out. We need your help with this. There's flyers here, and there's more. Kids will not come if they do not know about it. So we've got to get the information out to them. And so be faithful to do that. Find bulletin boards. Like Brother Jimmy told me that he was down in St. Cloud and saw one of the flyers up on a bulletin board in the establishment he went in. So take them. Get them out. Put them out. Invite your neighbors. Tell your kids so that that know about it or would like to know about it and have opportunity to come. And I tell you, the workers have done great putting things together and getting it lined out. I'm amazed at what God does through our people. And I'm pleased to see the Lord, how He blesses the imaginations, the labor that goes into getting it ready. So if you have not seen it, come by Sunday evening. If you're not sure you even know what Vacation Bible School is, I'm talking to adults now, what Vacation Bible School is and what it's all about, you're welcome to come. It won't bother us all to have you and come and see and then say, well, maybe I'd like to get involved, maybe not, but just come and see. But please do this for me. If you don't come see, please be prayed. The times and the dates are on the flyers. Pray and ask God to bless during that week that we might have a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with the kids of our community so that it gives us an inroad into their families. As God continues to bless our church and continue to grow and God continues to add families to us. We just got back from junior camp, and we had a good time up at junior camp. There were seven souls saved up there, and there were several decisions to surrender their lives to the Lord for whatever service He might would use them in. And we sung a chorus up there, and I hate to put the kids on the spot, but would you mind come singing the camp chorus for me, kids? Come on and come help me out and do that. Haley, will you come up? Kenley, will you come up front and kind of get them started there? Chaz, come on down, son. Come on, Landon. I'm going to put these two out here, Brother Josh, if you'll turn them on so they can sing there a little bit. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The theme song. That one. That's the one I want to hear. Come on, get up there, boys. Get up front, brother. Come on. All right, get started there. Here we go. Listen to Kendall. Amen. Thank you, guys. They sure sung a whole lot louder on the bus coming back, so I think you folks must be scared. because they were blasting it out on the bus all the way back. I didn't tell them I was going to do that because some of them would have played sick this morning and had y'all miss it. Church, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 6, and while you're finding your place there, many of you know that Brother David Korn and Miss Joy were the speakers up there this week, and during the Thursday afternoon, Brother Korn approached me and said, Pastor, if I ask you a question, would you be able to give me a little advice? I said, yeah, I'll do the best I can. And it was concerning their air condition in their travel trailer. Their air condition had not been working all week. And he didn't mention it till Thursday. I don't know if you ever lived on a travel trailer with no air condition. It's like an oven. A home, for that matter, is like an oven, but a travel trailer for sure. So he commented to me and asked me, and I went up and I looked at it on Thursday afternoon and got on the roof and pulled apart and got it. It does need a little servicing done. It looks to me that it has sprung a possible leak and it needs to go get sealed up. I did not have the tools to do it, but to get it done, was able to look at it. So I came back and I told the kids at camp, all of our kids that came up here, I said, look, we need to pray and for the Korns. Their AC went out and on their travel trailer, and need to ask the Lord to kind of maybe bring some rain, cool it off, and things of that nature. And I asked them, every Wednesday night we take the bucket, put it out here, and the kids take up the money and they put it in there. Well, we do that to help us with the trip. Buying Gatorades, buying Gatorades and waters, and feeding them, going and coming. I said, what do you kids think about giving the Korns an offering to help, take away from your ice cream money? And they said, Pastor, they would like to do that. So we took $100 of their money and gave it to the Korns with a letter. Your kids chose to do that. They didn't have to. To be a blessing to somebody else. And so the Korns wrote a thank you letter to our campers. Dear Lock Haven campers, we were deeply touched by your sacrificial gift to help with our air conditioning repair. Y'all are just the sweetest, most giving group. To think that you gave up some of your own spending money to help us, well, it's truly humbling. Thank you for giving so graciously, so generously. We love you all so much. You certainly have such a special place in our heart. Thank you very much, Brother Dave and Miss Joy. So kids, thank you for your willingness to give, to be a blessing, to help to someone else in need. And sometimes giving comes about that you don't get that ice cream. You don't get that extra Gatorade that you normally did. So thank you, children, for your willingness. Because to be honest with you, I don't know about you at that age. It's not my ice cream. It's not my air condition. It's my ice cream I'm fixing to give up. But they didn't even hesitate. Just like that. Thank you, kids. Appreciate it. That is a blessing. Exodus chapter number 6. We'll get going real quick here in the Word of God. You know we're in the series, From Bondage to Sinai series, and Brother Roger Campbell had preached these many years ago, and I've taken them and I've adapted them and worked in them and added to and taken away some things that will be a blessing and help to our church. And I've really enjoyed studying through this series and then presenting it to you as well there. The flow of it is just amazing, and I've really enjoyed it. So I hope you enjoy it. You say, preacher, you use somebody else's sermons? Yes, I did. It was needful for our church at this time. It was food that we needed, and as the pastor, now I didn't do it word by word verbatim. I did take it, and I've adapted it, and went through it, and like I said, added to and taken away. But we need the best of the food and the Word of God. And if at the point, this is a series that I thought was very needful and helpful to our church. I have certainly enjoyed the last two Sundays, and to be honest, I think it's probably, I'm going to stretch this thing out. It may be 13 weeks by the time we get done, Lord willing. I'm trying to narrow it down to about 12, but it may be beyond 12 at least. So, but anyway, it's from the Word of God, and we have looked from the time of bondage when God told Moses to come and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. In the first week, we saw a man just live in rebellion. He was rebelling. Pharaoh was in rebellion against God's plan, against God's people. He was just lived in rebellion. And last week, we saw that even while waiting for God, that there will be hardships that still come our way. They were waiting for deliverance, expected deliverance, and yet they had to go get more, make the same amount of bricks, yet without straw. It came down to the point where they were gathering stubble. They were getting beaten by the taskmasters. And so all that added while waiting on God's purpose and plan. So sometimes, just to be honest with you, dear friend, while you wait on God's purpose and God's plan, you are going to have and face difficulties in life. Now this one, this morning, is good news. And boy, we all like good news, don't we? Man, I tell you, this past week, Brother Chris told me he's going to take a peek at my wife's van. And I've been trying to do a little mechanic work. And he was going to look at it on Tuesday. And then I didn't receive a text on Tuesday. I didn't receive a text on Thursday. I didn't receive a text on Friday. I was like, oh. Sometimes no news is good news. But sometimes no news is bad news. And anyway, Brother Chris has been a good help and a good hand to me. And, you know, waiting on that, you know, just waiting for the news. You know, having children. You know, Brother Jimmy and Miss Jennifer expecting their child. And, boy, you're waiting on that time. But, you know, she's wanted to get over with, like, tomorrow or yesterday, maybe. But, you know, it gets a little bit crowded in there. You know, pressing on your rib cages and all that. But, you know, waiting for that news that she's in labor so that we can ask the church to pray and the birth of the child will come without any problems. So good news. Well, I like good news. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he actually said, you know, about the news. The news has really made things a lot worse in our country today, because every time you watch news, it's negative and negative and negative and negative and negative. Every bit. And so, you know, good news. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We'll quickly run through this so that we can get ready for the nursing home ministry. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Verse 5. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Verse 7. And I will take you to be for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So God sends Moses to Pharaoh. Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. And God looks down upon them and He sees the groanings, as He put it there in verse 5. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. And this is the groanings after God had told Moses to go. There were certainly groanings before. You understand, over 400 years they were in bondage in the land of Egypt. And now they have grown to a great company of people. Some estimate over 2 million people that was there at this time. And so there's this great groaning about, and God hears, and He brings a promise to them, and He renews His covenant with them. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, God does care about you in your troubles and your difficulties. God does not just put you out there to allow the storms of life and troubles of life to come about and around you and just leave you there to float without a motor, without a paddle, without a life jacket. God does care about you during your troubles. Now, preacher, how do you know that? Because if you hold your place there, look quickly over in Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, and you'll see what God says in Luke 12 and verse number 6. Luke chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? That's Luke 12, 6. God says this about sparrows, that they are sold, they're not forgotten. God says in another portion equaled with that, that's a passage with that, that He adds there a little statement about God knows the hair on your head. He knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. Dear friend, let me tell you something. God cares about your troubles. He cares about your difficulties. You see there in verse 6, back in Exodus chapter number 6, verse 6, wherefore saith the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens. I tell you, dear friend, God cares about the burdens that you are carrying about you right now. He cares, and He promises, dear friend, that He will be with you during your hurting times. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm there with you. I'm with you all the time. God understands and God knows about the pains that you suffer and that you carry. He understood here that the nation of Israel was now carrying some extra burdens. They were in bondage before Moses showed up to Pharaoh, but now when Moses showed up to Pharaoh, they had extra burdens placed upon them. Remember I told you, they now had to make bricks and they had to gather their own straw. That's a bigger burden. They not only had to gather bricks and make more straw, they had to keep the production. Same amount of production had to come out. It got to the point in chapter number 5 that they were gathering straw up here, there, and yonder until they had to gather up stubble. And now working with stubble, more stiff. Do you imagine forming and making the bricks from straw down to the stubbles there? That became much harder. Think about this, the beating of the taskmasters. Now they had to get more bricks, same bricks, their own straw. Now they're getting beat by the taskmasters on top of that. And so God cares and He understands, and He's looking to us, and He is careful to remember the burdens that you and I carry. Your burdens are important to God. Now, sometimes people look at you and look at your life and they hear you say this, they hear you say that about this burden or that burden that you think, you know, that you're carrying. And to them, it doesn't calculate. To them, it's not their burden, so they understand. Remember what I told you about the kids? Here's Brother Corn, Miss Corn. They're out there in a travel trailer Monday through Thursday. The air conditioning hasn't been working. That wasn't the kids' burden. The kids were sleeping in the dorm. They had jug money. They had spending money that the parents had given them. They couldn't look at it. I don't relate to it. That's not my burden. I'm not the one in the heat. I've got air conditioning. I'm comfortable. They could have said, my burden is what type of ice cream do I want? The Bible says that we're to carry, bear one another's burdens in Ephesians chapter 6. And so God does care about your burdens, and your burdens are important to Him. And I'm telling you, dear friend, we need to get to the point where we name our burdens. You remember, we count our blessings, name them one by one. We need to get to the point where we're looking to God in our troubles, in our difficulties, in the burdens that we carry. We look to God, and like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse 16, let us come boldly unto the throne of God that we might have find help in time of need. We need to come to God naming our burdens one by one, and laying them before the throne of God, because God is certainly careful to look to His children and to see the needs of the children, the burdens that they carry, and He strengthens and He helps them through that difficult time. Now listen, they had burdens for 400 years. What was the cause? They were in bondage to the nation of Egypt. There is a consequence to sin. There is a result. There is a reaping of sin. God cares about you. God loves you, dear friend. But when you do things and you live in such a way that you're living contrary to the Word of God, you will suffer the natural consequences of sin. Now, He's faithful and just to forgive you. He loves you unconditionally. He don't look down there and says, well, I'll love them the same once the consequences go away from us. Oh, no, dear friend. In the middle of the consequence, in the middle of the reaping, God's love is still the same. It's unconditional. So God cares about the burden, like He said there in verse 6. He says, Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens. Not only does God care about our burdens, dear friend, God cares about the bondage that we're in. Keep reading in verse 6. The Egyptian says, and I will rid you out of their bondage. There's a difference between a burden and bondage. There's a big difference. Now, the difference is burdens are concerns and cares and problems that are within, that we carry along. Bondage is control of the things that are exterior, something exterior. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a substance of some sort. Maybe alcohol or drugs or pornography. These are bondage. Those aren't burdens. Temper, a flaring temper that you might have, dear friend, that keeps you in bondage because of that. Maybe it's fear. So, you know, there's fear that will limit your usefulness to God. Fear of failure. Fear of letting people down. These are burdens. These are bondages. There's a difference. Burdens are concerns, cares, and problems. Bondages is control. Let me ask you this morning. What's controlling your life? What keeps you from serving God? What keeps you from loving people like God loves people? What controls your appetites? Are you in bondage today? God says here to the nation of Israel in verse 6, He says, I will rid you out of their bondage. God cares about your bondage. You know, sometimes we get caught up in bondages, and we're tangled in these here, these bondage, the sinful acts of life that control us, and we say, man, I'm not even worth. Maybe some of you may be even struggling with drugs right now or alcohol, and you say, and you get to the point where you feel worthless, you feel like. You're nothing. You want to lay it aside. Some of you may be struggling with one of the most addictive things in society right now, and that would be, of course, tobacco products and this thing of pornography. It's one of the most addictive things. You're trying to get, lay it aside. And you're trying to get help. And you get to the point where daily, lay it aside, lay it aside, lay it aside. You think you're going to get rid of it. And I'm telling you, it's got you. It's controlling you. And you get to the point, you say, I just am not even worth God helping me. And you feel worthless. Dear friend, I'll tell you, that's a lie of the devil. God cares about the thing that puts you in bondage. He cares. He wants you to be set at liberty. Oh, preacher, how do you know that? Look at verse 6. Let's keep reading. It says here in verse 6, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I will redeem you. I will set you free. I will buy you back. That's what He's telling the nation of Israel. I will redeem you. Listen, God not only cares about your burdens, He cares about your bondage. Dear friend, God cares about your freedom. He does. Look over with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1. Hold your place there in Exodus. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. You know, you try, you pay, you look, you know, like the woman in the New Testament. She had an issue of blood. She spent everything to find help. Just the touch of the hem of the garment. You listen. Silver and gold is not going to get it. I wish that all the programs that men come up with would relieve us of some of the things that keeps us in bondage. But all the programs are man-made. You need God help. You need Jesus to reach into your life and to set you free. The Bible says, therefore, as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from vain conversations, received by the traditions of your fathers, not the traditions of our church, of any church or any denomination, of any religion. It's not going to help you. It's not. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So many times we look at God, we look at religion, we say, well, that's for Christendom as a whole. That's for the church as a whole. No, it was for you personally that Christ died on the cross of Calvary. It was for you personally that He redeemed you. He cares about your freedom, dear friend. And He will redeem you. Our Lord has come to set people free. Let me tell you about the Scriptures, dear friend. Look over in John chapter number 8. John chapter 8. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 8 and verse number 32, listen to what it says in John 8 and verse number 32. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So we have all these people going about telling us that the Word of God is archaic. It's not for the day. And yet we're in more and more and more bondage today. They have taken the Word of God and removed it from public view and public audience. They have taken it and removed it completely out of our school systems. The Word of God. And yet we have more and more trouble. And soon as someone gets in trouble with the law, as soon as somebody goes to the courthouse, as soon as the judge drops the gavel, bang! Is there any groups want to bring Bibles into the prison? Is there any group that would like to come into the prison and preach the Word of God? Is there anybody out there in society that cares about our prisoners? Would they please come and we'll open the door. We'll give you an hour. We'll give you 2 hours a week. We'll give you every day a week. And it varies according to the warden or whoever's in charge of the prison. But as soon as they're in that jailhouse, then they want the Word of God. When they should have had the Word of God in the schoolhouse. And perhaps they would not have been in the jailhouse. Now, when they Google and they end up in jail, dear friend, they need somebody to care about them. Because such were some of you. Some of you and I could have been, you know, we could have had the gavel drop down upon us, and been in jail ourselves. Thank God for jail ministers. We had a gentleman call us just the other day over at the print shop and said, listen, I was in the chaplain's office, and in his closet there was a box of scriptures that came from Lock Haven Scripture Press. And I asked the chaplain about it. This is up here at 33rd, up here downtown. I said, why aren't we using them? He said, nobody wants to take them in and talk with the people. He said, give them to me, I'll go. He passed out over 500 week by week up in the jail system. He came back the other day and said, can I have more? It's a needful thing. I'm just going to be honest with you, dear friend. Our system was meant to punish, not correction. They need correction. And correction comes from the Word of God. Where do we get correction? The Word of God. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God cares about it. Why do you think He's given us a Word of God that's settled forever in heaven? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall remain. You know what you want to be free? You're going to get the Word of God, dear friend. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. This foolishness that went on here a couple of months ago with them kids, those five kids that filmed that man drowning and made fun of him while he drowned, is because they have no understanding of the Word of God. If they had understanding of Scripture, they knew that Jesus had died for that man that was drowning. And they would have done everything within their power to throw a rope, to throw a helping hand, to get out there, you know, and try to save this man. They have no understanding. No understanding that the value of life comes from God. You know what that happens? No Word of God. No Word of God. John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Here, I'm going to be honest with you. If you've got sinful stuff going on in your life and you're a child of God, He'll set you free from it. He desires for you to be free. He's made it possible that you have freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let me explain just for a moment salvation. We realize that we have transgressed God's law. We are sin, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. We realize there's a payment for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We turn to God in repentance. Lord, I am sorry. And by faith we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel which we hear and we receive, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made, and with the gospel that we hear and we receive, the Bible says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you are saved this morning, you have realized you're a sinner, you realize there's a payment that is due for your sin, you realize that Jesus Christ was that sinner, that payment for the sin that you have committed, and you accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Amen. He cares about you being free. He doesn't want you to be in bondage. He desires that you have freedom. So He cares about our birth. He cares about our bondage. He cares about our freedom. And He also cares about our fellowship with Him. Back over in Exodus chapter number 6, verse 7, the Bible says, "And I will take you," this is what God says to the nation of Israel, "I will take you to be my, to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." I'll take you to be to me to be a people, and I'll be your God. God would have fellowship with them, and He would lead them. You know, we haven't gotten there, but we know the story. How did God? He led them by day and by night. He was with them. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but have had a pet or do have a pet, a dog or cat or something? If you have iguanas and lizards and snakes, and that's your pet, that's your thing. So don't do that. But, you come home. You've been gone a week. And you come home. What does that dog do? Or that cat come running straight to you. I don't know about your snake and lizard. I don't know what they do. But what did that dog and cat, they see you and they come running. They are happy. They are joyful to see you. They desire fellowship. What happens? Week by week, day by day. You pray in the morning. You read your Bible. You sing a song of Zion, a praise or a chorus to the Lord. And you do it day by day. Then all of a sudden something happens. And you miss a day or you miss 2 days. And you come back and you realize, man, I have missed what? Fellowship with God. If you have missed it, think about what He has missed. Because He's made it possible that you and I can enjoy fellowship. He said the nation is 40 years. Go back, flip back one verse, one chapter, back over to chapter number 5 and verse number 1. "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may do what? Hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." A feast. Fellowship. Let my people go because 400 years they have not enjoyed fellowship. God cares about fellowship. That's why the sun rises up in the morning. And that's why you have strength to get out of bed and air in your lungs and blood pumping through your veins and your heart pumping, because God desires fellowship with you. He cares about your birds. He cares about your bondage. He cares about the freedom. And God desires and cares about the time that you fellowship. Let me ask you this. This week alone, how was your fellowship with the Lord? How was this week your fellowship with the Lord? Last but not least, back over in Exodus 6 and verse 8. "And I will bring you in into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And listen to what He says. "I will give it you for a heritage." I say to you, dear friend, that God cares about your future. God cares and He's concerned about your future. God would keep His promises, it says, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their heritage was guaranteed. The nation of Israel is not a late nation in the land where it is today because the UN decided it to be. The nation of Israel is a land and a nation, a country, because God said, "I'll give you that land." Yeah. Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and we're done for the day. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. And if God cares about the nation of Israel's future and their heritage, I want you to grasp what this verse is saying to us today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Dear friend, God is concerned about your future. He says this in the book of John, I go to prepare a place for you. Put your name there. For you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, this is more personal. Lord, I know you're going to prepare a place for them. Doesn't mean as much, does it? And for them, you're prepared a place so that they can be with you. No, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's concerned about your future. Have you ever thought you're all alone, didn't know which way to go, which way to turn, what you want to do tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year? God cares about your tomorrow. So, preacher, I just don't know. I could die tomorrow, and He's secured. If you're His child, you're His, and you've been saved, He's secured your future with Him. If you're not saved this morning, dear friend, and you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, it is appointed unto man once to die. And without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever. A God that's concerned about your words, concerned about your bondage, concerned about your freedom, concerned about the fellowship that you have one with Him. A God is concerned about your future. He said that hell was created for the devil and his angels. So He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish. Wouldn't spend eternity in this place called hell, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, dear friend. That's good news. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is coming. Brother Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. This morning, if you are here without Christ, the hope of glory, would you please come down front? We'll take a Bible. We won't embarrass you. We won't call you by name. We won't hold you out here in front. We'll step off to the side and we'll show you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life. Perhaps you're a child of God, and you're carrying burdens. Would you come today? Lay your burdens down at the cross. Come and say, Lord, I desire to be free. Whatever your need is, would you please act this morning?